Let's pray, and then we can share a bit out of the Word. Thank you, Father, that you're present, Lord, and thank you that as I just held Sophia close to me in worship, it was just a quick glimpse of, I believe, what you want and what you seek in all of our lives. The smaller we get as humans, the easier you can just pick us up and hold us close. Lord, on days like today, I just want to be small so that you can be big. And I pray for all of our hearts, Lord, that we can get to a place where we can just lay down the things of this world, lay down the things and the ideas, concepts even that we have, and just become like children again, to be picked up, held close to you, Lord, so that you can fight and take the punches and dish out the punches on our behalf. We thank you for that, Lord. Thank you, Father God, that your word is powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, Lord. And what you sow today, Father God, through your Spirit and word, will not return void. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name. Amen. I'm sharing a word here today, this morning, and this evening again in Gardens in Cape Town. And so the easiest thing for a preacher or for somebody bringing the word, it's just a copy and paste, but being prophetically inclined and always wanting to hear from God and what's on his heart, it's quite clear that it's not the same for every congregation every single Sunday. So the foundation of the message this morning is the same as this evening, but I believe the goal and the heart of it at the end of the day is different. So if you don't catch everything this morning, you're more than welcome to catch me at 5 o'clock in Gardens. For a slightly different heart, but the same foundation. The title is, you can try to work it up. That, by the way, it's not that sunny, is not a spelling error, but it's sunny side up, yoking with Christ. And I think you'll get it as we move on. We've been as we arrived, and thank you for the first, what is almost 6 months of our stay here. We feel embedded and we feel part of the family, and we're thankful. And we kicked off with saying a lot about intimacy and God's word and God's heart. Mary, Martha, having that Mary heart, talking about intimacy. And obviously you've gotten to know my heart as well. It's just to say, Lord, we want this thing to be real and authentic. I looked up and I read up a bit about religious spirits this last couple of days, because this is something that's interesting to me, and I think it's something that we fight with many a times. And I realize it's something that that puts us in a place where we need to, and that's one word that there's a lot we can say about it, but one word that came out was earning. The religious spirit in a Christian context would like you to earn things with God. Now, as my example earlier, as I held Sophia, she didn't do anything to earn that. That's just blood. That's just the way God made it. There's still prunitra on her vang, and it's a bit of, yes, and the thing is, sorry for that, but just to make it real and family-like, but I held her close because she's mine. She's mine, and she didn't earn anything, and that's I believe, the battle we face as charismatics, or as just believers, just followers of Christ. That's many a times the things we face, is just to fight this thing of needing to earn stuff with God, earn intimacy. You don't even have to earn that. But if you're a son, and if you move out of a place of being a son of God and have that identity to know who you are, then you can go. Mariette started to share about evangelism, and it's a strong point for her, and we were so blessed by that. And I realized there's a sacrifice that comes out of walking a road of intimacy with God. And then, so fittingly, Pietri chatted to you guys about my Father's business. First words that Jesus used, I am about my Father's business. And that came out of a place of intimacy. Yet he did not just sit there, he went out. And as Amuan then fittingly followed up, is that he went out and he did the things that the Father laid on his heart. And I believe that's a place where we are. It's to get that balance right between knowing this God and not being religious and staunch about it. But out of that place of intimacy, out of that place of connecting, then just to go. Ronald was honestly sharing about his brokenness this morning, and Edna told me that Johan shared about the fact that we're broken vessels, yet we go with God's authority because Christ is always with us. So it's just a fitting thing that I believe God is saying to us, hey guys, guess what? You don't have to be perfect. Must say on this trip, I again realized that. You're just so small, yet it's a very big God that lives inside of you. And that takes off a lot of pressure. And that's just the thing that God spoke to me on this trip about, and I believe that God has been saying to us, is, hey guys, you don't have to be perfect to go out and be a part of what I do. And I love it when God just gives me a practical example called a testimony. On Friday, let me rewind a bit. We got on the plane from Gatwick in the UK on Tuesday morning. And I arrived home on Wednesday, late Wednesday afternoon. Now, this can be an 11-hour flight trip, but if you take the cheaper option, you can go via Dubai. Ironically enough, they send the guys with the cheaper option around Dubai to buy stuff there. But they're actually the guys that want to save money in the flight. So I don't actually get the thing. Long story short, I was stuck in Dubai myself and Tien's for 8 hours. I don't even like canal walk. And this is canal walk with planes in the parking lot. It's just the way it looks. So I don't really like it. So it was about a 7 or 8 hour flight and then 8 hours stopover in Dubai, seeing Tani's running to and fro with big sunglasses in the middle of the night shopping. It's just the weirdest thing ever. And then getting on another plane and flying all the way back here. Long story short, I got home a bit tired. It was awesome seeing my family. But I was a bit tired. And then I had this thing of needing to hear from God, wanting to know what is... He's been whispering things, but I'm not sure yet what he wants to do this weekend because it's two services. I need to go Cape Town, so I need to obviously focus. So there's a bit of pressure. And then my tank is a bit empty. So Friday morning I've been working and things are more or less in order, but you can ask Edna, please don't ask her to be too honest, but I was not the easiest of campers, I believe, for those first 2 days. And I repent before everybody, sorry again. I was really not a happy camper. I was like that bear Ronald referred to with the very sore foot or toe. And I was a bit grumpy, and I just realized again on Friday morning, I have to go for a jog now, just get this out of my system. And I just run down, I thought, well, maybe I should go to the left, there's a certain route I sometimes follow, and I clearly just have it on my heart, no, just go run down the beachfront and then somewhere turn around and come back, and hopefully you'll feel better. And as I'm running down the beachfront in Melkbos, not at a blistering pace like Pietri, so it's quite slow, you can see what is happening around you. It's just a guy that catches my eye that's lying on the grass there and writing something down. He doesn't have shoes on. He's got a tall fellow with a... You can see he's had a bit of sunburn, so I thought he might be a surfer. He looks like quite a cool dude, nice hairstyle, etc. And I just run past, and as I run past, God just drops in my heart. Tell him that I love him. And you have that... But I've had this fight with the Lord before, on a jogging expedition where it was about an hour before I eventually went to the home, and I just realized I'm not going to waste the Lord's time because he's not going to back down. He didn't make a mistake. He wants to tell this guy that he loves him. I turn around. I usually do the I'm stretching thing first. And I'm stretching. And I say, hi, how are you doing? And he actually just looks at me, just doesn't say much. He looks like quite a rough fellow. So now you're like, oh, Lord, isn't there something more profound than you love him? Something deep and cool, like, how's the waves? And God says this. No, God wants to tell him that he loves him. And I just share that with him. And immediately, he breaks down. Not a teary breakdown, but you just see there comes a shift and he's surprised. Long story short, he's been on the run and on the road and homeless for about 7 years. He's been into drugs, etc. And he just came to a spot which was one of the last spots that he and his girlfriend probably spent time together with. And I'm like, okay, well, where's your girlfriend? He said, well, she passed away because of a heroin overdose. 6 months ago. And his parents and his family doesn't want to have anything to do with him, and he's been in prison, etc. Yet, God's just struck a chord in his heart, and I start sharing out of my life and just how things have gone. And you just don't, because obviously it's awesome to be a part of leading somebody to the Lord, but it's just an add-on. I believe we need to do it with God. And I just earnestly pray in my heart, Lord, is this the moment? And I just believe, yes. And that guy gives his heart to the Lord. And I asked him to be baptized by the Holy Spirit. And he just turns around. I go home, come back. I know people that's got a food, not a shelter, etc. And I try to hook them up. I put them on the road, give them stuff, and I go. And he goes his way. Not sure where he is today, but he's in God's hands. We prayed a lot and spent some awesome time together. But I know it's going to be a long road. But at least there was a kickoff to this road that God wants to lead him on. Why am I telling this testimony? But I just believe God wanted to affirm this point. Is that God uses broken vessels. And I believe him, Jan said that last week. I was not in a very spiritual space. I was not a very good jogger either. But the thing is, God had a plan for this gentleman's life. And I was lucky to be part of that. And what seemed impossible in my mind, this oak receiving Christ into his life, it was for God very simple, because it was God's moment. And yoking with Christ in that moment, I shared one of the most awesome moments of that gentleman's life. And I believe that is what God wants to do in all of our lives. The authority is there. Jesus' presence is there. My perfection, it ain't there. But I was willing, and I was so privileged. I got home, I think, in a bit of a better state than I left. Because God just used me in a really magnificent way. And that just, again, spoke to my heart. I definitely did not earn the privilege to be part of that moment. But God just said, hey, my son, here's a guy that needs my salvation. Please be a part of that. And it was awesome. I'm going to share with you out of Scripture, as I believe God is challenging us to be intimate and to go. We need to trust the Holy Spirit to strike a balance where we're always Spirit-led. Where we're always Spirit-led, and where we're led by the love and the compassion of God. Maybe before I share the Scripture, just another testimony. We're on the train, a mall train. What is a mall train? And a subway. On the subway from Utrecht to Schiphol to take a flight. And we're in this early morning, so people are going to work and going to the airport. We're standing there with our bags at the door. There's no place to sit closest to us. And there's about 7 people sitting there. But just before they all went to sit down, a guy got on, well-dressed, cool guy, sorted, looks like like this typical European type of guy. But he's on crutches and his knee is bust, or it seems bust. Unless he was faking it, but I don't believe he was. They all take a seat. And I'm like constantly looking for adventure, looking to be part of what God is doing. God, where are you hiding a testimony? God, where you want to touch somebody's life? Long story short, 7 people sit there. We're standing, myself and Werner, and I tell him, we should actually pray for this guy. I tell you what, if God lets that 5 people move over that we can take that seat, we're going to pray for him, because it's him and his girlfriend. I'll give you 2 guesses what happened over the next 2 stops. There's constant stops all the way to the airport. The other 5 people stood up and they left. And these 2 people were left. Now, obviously, now I'm like, okay, Lord, well, you've done your part thus far. We grab a seat. I see Werner's not sure if this is the right way to go. Long story short, we start chatting. We say where we're from, what we're doing. They don't believe. They believe there's a God. There's something there. Start figuring it out. There's somebody out there, but this Christianity thing is not it. But there's something out there, but they just don't know what it is. So I wanted to say, well, I know what it is, can I share it with you? But I took a more diplomatic route, and we just shared. But you just see the ladies, the girls' names, she's probably my age, but her eyes just lights up. Her name was Juliet. And the guys, all cool, they're going to London for a weekend, they're going to party, they're going to go with friends, etc. Long story short, I then ask him, can I pray for your knee? And he says, yes. They're quite surprised. I pray for his knee and he feels a warmth. He was not completely healed. I wish that was the story. But you know what struck my heart? After we prayed for them, they just started to chat with us, and they were so surprised that we cared, that we loved them. They forgot about the knee. I was wanting God to heal this knee, because imagine how cool that testimony would be today. Yet God was connecting with their hearts. And you see that Juliet's eyes lit up, and she said, well, this is so awesome. We don't know this, that people get onto a subway and they actually care. They actually ask, how are you doing? We don't experience that type of love. And in that moment, I just realized, wow, God, I thought you were going in like this, but God had a different plan. But he used a broken vessel in that. And it's such a privilege just to know that he constantly moves, and we can move with him. Let's look at a bit of scripture in Matthew 11, verse 25 to 30. At that time, Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, because this was your good pleasure. All things have been entrusted to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son desires to reveal him. Luckily for me, it was that guy Friday afternoon at Melkbos. And this is more or less where I'd like us to focus today, or I believe the Lord wants us to focus there. Come to me, all of you are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. All of you, take up my yoke and learn from me, because I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for yourselves. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Now, in both these testimonies, believe you me, I was on a trip for almost 2 weeks, and I really like treasure hunting. I like it when God moves. So I was constantly thinking and looking, and constantly thinking and looking and knocking and looking and knocking. Yet I come back, all grumpy, go for a run just to feel better, and God does the biggest miracle of 2.5 weeks. I'm like, Lord, what's up with that? What is up with that? And I realized that this is such a massive burden, because one of the things that really got to me before the trip was striving, wanting to please, wanting to knock over all the pins. Praise God for a prophetic word that Pietri gave me about just staying true to who God made me and just to keep on doing the ways that I'm used to. Because you just so want to perform. Who's seen a guy that really wanted to make the province team and then he gets his chance? Tell this vergelijking, this symbolism to Pietri about. He just gets his chance for the first time and then he's just so excited that he screws everything up because he's just so overly excited. And I almost felt like that. It wasn't the case. And yet when you don't expect it, God just comes and he does a miracle. His yoke is easy and his burden is light. And I know that that is the case for all of us. This is maybe just a bit on the side, but I believe coming out of the words this morning and even in intercession that some of us might be a bit tired. Who's had a long year? Great, it's November. Who's looking forward to the holiday? Who believes true rest can only be found in a holiday? You're all smart. I believe it's very important that we just ask God just to help, and because we also have a holiday at the end of the year, and yes, we're looking forward to it, but who's ever come back from a holiday saying these words, I really need a holiday? Anybody? Netekaniku. How many times have you gone on a weekend and on Sunday evening you think, oh, man, Lord, I need a weekend? So something's just not adding up. Something is just not adding up. And it's maybe because, and in my case it is, so let's use me as an example, where many a times seek for, long for that rest, that light burden in a holiday or a time off, or more money, or a nicer place, or this or that. And many a times, I don't get that rest, and then I'm disgruntled and I'm upset. But it's just because of my own wrong expectations. I had this thing come up this morning after Sue prayed something that that people might be a bit tired here and there, and irritation or small foxes might try to come in this at this stage of the year. And I just think that we need to be careful for the clippy in your schoon, for a little a little stone in your shoe, something that's not that massive, or it doesn't feel that massive, but it irritates the living daylights out of you, and it steals your joy, and it sucks you dry. So in our relationships, in our relationship with God, in our marriages, and just in our hearts, be careful in this time, I believe, for just the small foxes. Ronald, I just thought of the taxi man. Just be careful, because we might be a bit much. We might be a bit tired at this stage. So just be careful that the enemy does not come in and steal with these things. That was just an ad break, but I'll go on with the sermon now. There's in the scripture, we see Jesus refers to burdens or yoke, as you may deem fit. You can go to the next one, I think. You can skip that one. The next one. Thank you so much. I know all of you guys, I saw with the question and answer just now that you're very smart, so we don't have to go through the definition of rest. We can just jump into burdens or yokes. And you all have seen a yoke like that, and for the oxen, how they're just yoked together to pull a heavy load. But Jesus refers to, in Scripture, refers to burdens and yokes, but there's only two types. There's either those ones that are heavy and wears you down, or then he tells you about his yoke and his burden. The thing is, unfortunately, there's not three. There's either one or the other. There's not neither. There's one or the other. And I think many times in our lives, or at least when I got saved, you weren't necessarily told that, hey, in life, there is suffering and there is a couple of yokes. And there's no escaping a yoke in life. There's an easy and a light one, but there's never an escaping that in its entirety. And it may sound hard, but once you realize that God has come and through His Son and through His Spirit made it so easy that it's not truly a burden or a yoke, I think you'll feel much better. But Jesus clearly says in His Word that there's one or the other. There's not neither. We should also be careful of a gracious theology where it says, well, just come, give your life, take away your burdens and your yokes of life. Come to Christ. Get yourself a pina colada, get yourself a beach chair, and wait for heaven. And that's a half-truth. Yes, He comes and He takes your weariness. He comes comes and takes the false burdens and false yokes from you. But then He says, come yoke with Me. I am the way, the truth, and the life, but come and yoke with Me. It is light and soft. John 16, verse 33, I had in my heart, I have told you these things, Jesus, at the Word, so that in Me you may have peace. So He just again says, in Me you will have peace. You will have suffering in this world. Be courageous. I have conquered the world. I think Jesus would have loved to tell us that in this world will be no suffering whatsoever. But then He would have obviously be talking about heaven. In this world, He said, there will be suffering, but take heart, I have overcome. Do we have to be yoked and be under the burden of these sufferings of the world? No, because He's overcome it. But there's a place where we can only walk in that overcoming anointing, walking in that overcoming freedom, if we yoke with Christ. I hope that makes sense. So now, if there's only two burdens or two probable yokes, I think it's very important to just ask the Lord and just yourself, just to scan through our lives and just check, Lord, what are these burdens in my life? And which of them, and in what case, Lord, am I yoking with you? Am I carrying a burden that you actually are giving me? Or in what case are they false burdens or false yokes? We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you will help us. You know, something that has cropped up in my life, I believe that's a false burden, is fear. Sometimes you can start doing things in your life out of fear. Something that came up this morning in intercession that I believe is also a word of knowledge maybe for someone or some people here, is that we can sometimes suffer of the yoke or burden of rejection. That whatever you do, however you lead your life or make decisions in your life, is many times based on the hurt or the burden or the yoke of a lie of rejection. Now, how does that practically work? Is that if I'm tired and empty and not yoking with Christ, in other words, not walking in His truth, not being filled with His Spirit at the moment, operating in the flesh, and Edna says the slightest thing that might be sound like a disagreement, I'll be offended and hurt. I might just snap back and say something stupid back to her. Was that because she did a horrible sin to me? You also say no in this case. No, that's not the case, but I've been carrying that burden or that yoke of rejection, and I'm retaliating or reacting out of that place. I'm not placed or yoking with Christ. I'm not standing next to Him, filled with His Spirit. And then when she says something, I realized, well, I'm not. He's with me. He's in me. I'm in any event a bit of a broken vessel. And then I react out of that place of love and affection and truth. I hope that makes sense. Here and there I see the lights go on. Religion. I briefly referred to a religious spirit earlier. Sometimes a spirit or religious spirit, which is something just purely from the devil, from the Antichrist, it just mimics or fakes authentic, real, life-giving Christianity, purposeful, relational Christianity. In other words, it does a lot of stuff, but without the substance of the heart, and it can become a burden. It can become a burden. You will soon realize when you're doing stuff just because I want to please Pietri. So I said desperately because I see he can sing, he can run, he makes a good joke. Oh, really? No, it's actually not a joke. I like his sense of humor. So he's the cool guy around and I desperately want to be his friend. So I say, hey, Pietri, you know what? I think as your pastor, we should give you money. Well, that's a joke. I told you he's funny. I should see you maybe 3 to 4 times a week and have a coffee. I just so desperately want to please him. I can bet you my bottom dollar that we won't have much to say for one another. We'll probably walk out of there a bit disgruntled. Because what am I doing? I'm trying to keep Pietri happy because I actually just want to be his friend. Don't want him to be Jesus' friend, lose his life, follow him, pick up his cross, walk on water, change the nations. No, I just so desperately want Pietri to like me. So in that, I might be carrying a religious burden to want him to look good, but in the inside, I'm actually insecure. I hope that makes sense. There's many ways where we can try to explain that, and I believe there's burdens that we sometimes put on ourselves. There's culturally some burdens that we suffer. But Jesus comes to us and he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am that fire of life. I am that truth. Let's just check your life quickly. Where are you operating? Where are you tugging in? Where are you yoking with something that I've never asked you to yoke with? I heard, what was it? Todd White. I believe it's the right time to share this, not at the end. I hope I've got it here. Bottom line is, he says that God only wants to take the things from you that he never meant it you to carry in the first place. That was kind of my own words, but I think I got close enough. God wants to take the burdens from your life and out of your life. Take things from you. And only those things from you that he never created you to carry in the first place. He's just going to save you from the identity that he never gave you in any event in the first place. Does that make sense? That just so rung in my heart that it's necessary. Other burdens can be selfishness, my kingdom, wanting to build my kingdom. I said, no, not so desperately, but there was, I believe, a big part of me that wanted to be a hotshot lawyer that makes a fair amount of money, and out of that I'll have influence with people so that God can move in their life. So if I'm a hotshot lawyer putting nice contracts together, which you may be, Rolf, if you're called for that, sorry. But if I'm a hotshot lawyer and I've got a nice slick car and I've got my beach house and I've got my stuff sorted out and people can see I'm putting together JSE listed transactions and doing reverse takeovers with my eyes closed, then I'll have an influence in people's lives. No, I won't. Christ will. His Spirit will. His truth, His Word will. Yes, He might use me if I'm in that position. So please just let me just color in the whole picture. But having that type of car, having this suit, I wore a suit sometimes and I didn't earn a cent. People would say, "Hey, what are you? I'm a lawyer." "Oh, wow, you guys make a lot of money." And I'm just knowing I'm not making, I may be making 1,000 rand this month. Looks can be deceiving, guys, but the spirit can't. The heart can't. The Bible, the truth, the Word can't. How did I get to that point? I'm not sure, but maybe it meant something for somebody. Oh, yes, that's right. My kingdom, selfishness, fear, fearing man, pleasing man. Jesus was pleasing his Father. He was close to him, and he pleased his Father. Come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. All of you, take up my yoke and learn from me. There is a yoke. Take it up. Because I'm gentle and humble in heart. How awesome is that? I'm gentle and humble in heart. And you will find rest for yourselves. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Just quickly, how do we come to Christ? He says, okay, so you've got a couple of false burdens. You're struggling with a couple of false burdens. But come to me. Leave that aside. Come to me. My question is just very practically, how do I do that? Jesus, I don't even see you. How can I come to you? I want to take off rejection. I want to take off fear. I want to take off a religious spirit. I want to take off trying to operate and look cool. And I want to take that off, but how do I come to you? How did you come to Christ in the first place? By faith. How do you throw off a false burden? How do you get to Him? To take up his yoke and his burden by faith. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen. So in your heart, in your spirit, you need to see it. Lord, show me your yoke. Just show me where you are. If I turn off all the lights, curtains closed, and I speak. Say, Retief, moet nie stupid wees, ek weet nie hoe nie. Turn on the light. For in your light, we will see light. We need to see Him to get to Him. And there's different ways of doing that. Before we get back to that faith principle, because I believe that's the heart of that, the guts of it, how to come to Him, is that we also do it in humility. The Word says, and we read that earlier, at that time Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learn and reveal them to infants. This is not mere words. Just listen to it again. I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from wise and learned and revealed them to infants. You know, I've jokingly said before that I had to go through a season where you've got a couple of bucks, not knowing how it's going to last you tomorrow. And people will tell you, hey, you have to be a good steward. You have to budget. I'm like, how the hell do you budget 20 rand if you've got a family? Yet you get into a store and you ask, Lord, can I buy this behind us, yes or no? And the story is not about me. The story, I believe, is about a principle of God just bringing us to a place of vulnerability sometimes. So I'm praying about Vianas in the Spar in Malmesbury at the age of, 30. Whereas in my own wisdom and esteem, I thought I would be a somebody else, not praying about Vianas. And is it wanting God to get me all down there? No, it's just God bringing me to a place of vulnerability and humility just to see His vastness, His magnificence, and how sovereign He is, and how secure I am in that. So I believe humility is a real key, and you guys know I love Matthew 18, verse 3. I assure you, He said, unless you are converted and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. I could not stop Friday afternoon and think, oh Lord, my quiet time was all right. I had about an hour in close to your presence. I did say sorry to my wife, and yes, I think I do tick all the boxes. Can I speak to this young gentleman that struggles with tick? And God says, yes, you're a religious beaut. Please do. No, that was not the case. I just said, oh, really, Lord? Okay, cool. Shared it with him, and I believe his life turned around. Matthew 18, verse 3, I assure you, he said, unless you are converted and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. And this is not a rebuke. This is something to get pretty excited about. Because the world constantly wants to ask you, what do you drive? Who are you? What have you become? How wise are you? And yet God tells you, do you know how wise I am? Do you know what I drive? I don't know if God drives anything, but He just wants us to shift our hearts. Do you want me to be your father? Do you want to come and do my business? Do you want to go with me? And I'm pretty excited. Maybe we can take it all through to tonight. That's just a joke, don't worry. In humility, how do we get His yoke and His burden? Like we got to Him in the first place, by faith. Those who walk by God's Spirit will be called God's sons. We walk with Christ in that manner. How do we see Him and how do we recognize Him? Very clearly and very easily. Firstly, it's by His grace. And then secondly, I'm not going to keep you long. It's just four things that I dotted down, and it can be many others. But the Word of God. I went through stages where I read the Burger from front to end, the morning paper. And I just had this sickening feeling every lunchtime. I'll come back to the office and I'm like, Lord, why do I feel like this? I didn't even eat that much. And it just dropped in my spirit. And that was for me. Please, just hear me out. That was for me. It just said, well, why are you gobbling up this nonsense though? When I was still Super 12, I think I've mentioned this before, I'll easily watch four rugby games on a Saturday morning. Like it was nothing. I wasn't married back then, and I didn't have children, so it made it much easier. But I could easily watch 3 to 4 rugby games. What do you think I meditated on when I went to bed on a Saturday night? The gospel? Nee, glad nie. Not at all, not even close. On that stupid call the ref made, or that yellow card, or that elbow, or that, what an amazing try. I could just see myself score that try. That was just pure brilliance. That was totally where I was. I was yoking with Brian Abana and the boys. Not with Christ. How do you recognize God in the dark? How do you recognize Him? How can you come to Him to take up His yoke? You see it in His Word. I think we'll be shocked if we don't do that. I don't believe that's God's heart. But if we should write down how much time we spend in the Word versus a bunch of other stuff. Haritif, I can't understand this massive burden in my life. When last have you just had a look at the Gospels? I haven't. Cool. Many times that's the truth in our lives. You look at the Word of God, the honest truth, the Word made flesh. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God, Jesus Christ. How do you get to Him? You see Him in His Word, the Gospels, and obviously the rest. In prayer, my sheep will know my voice, and the voice of another they will not follow. You get to know Him. He says, Vianas, Yavnia, Yavnia, Vianas, Yavnia. And I'm not making a joke of this. It's just, that's where I got to know the Lord's voice. Not that I always hear it crystal clear and know it. It's a learning exercise. Some people say you can't pray for parking. I say do pray for parking. Get to know the Lord's voice. He wants to be part of your life. You might as well just chat to Him. So I got to know Him. I got to recognize Him through prayer, asking Him the things of life. Third thing is the Holy Spirit. This obviously is part of the Word and part of prayer, but you get to recognize Him through His Holy Spirit. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And John 16, verse 13, when the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all of the truth. For He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak and will declare you the things to come. He will glorify Me, for He will take what is Mine and declare to you. In other words, the Holy Spirit, an intimate relationship with the Holy Spirit, and you'll see what God is doing and what Jesus wants, and you can yoke with Him. You can run with Him. And then the fourth thing I mentioned was fellowship together. I might go through a difficult patch, be carrying an unnecessary burden. And Pietri comes and he gives me a prophetic word that, sorry I referred to it such a lot of times, I know you won't get a little grainy. But that was just something that I had to hold on to daily. Otherwise I would have taken on a false burden. If I'm struggling with something, I'll say, but Wumyoan, what has God done in your life? And he just shares about the wisdom God has, for instance, given him with finances. And he just shares testimony. And those are just faith moments where I just realize, well, this poverty yoke, I just take off. I see the yoke of Christ and I see the burden of Christ, which is light and seems so much more pleasant. And I just take his testimony and I say, thank you, Jesus, I yoke with you. You might think, oh man, I know for Edna, this might be the case, this might. But if you say evangelism to her, it's like koue water to a cat. And she loves people, but it just, sometimes she doesn't strike up a conversation with a vreemdeling that easy. But if you share a testimony with her and just realize, but it's not about her, she can just so easily chat about, oh, your hair looks, oh, are you going through a divorce? Okay, great, Christ. Thank you. Cheers. Thank you, Lord. Something can just so quickly happen in her life if she just yokes with Christ. You get what I'm saying? We need to recognize the Lord. We recognize it through His Word, prayer, His Holy Spirit, obviously, getting to know His Holy Spirit, and I believe also through fellowship, fellow believers. What happens in cell? What happens at church? What happens in coffee? If something amazing has happened in your life, we want to know about it. In fact, in liefde gesê, said in love, you owe it to us to share what God has been doing in your life. To yoke with Him, to come to Him is to see Him. To see Him is to recognize Him. And lastly, Jesus said two things, and I believe for us, in going out, in staying, being filled, being intimate, and going out, coming back, going out, coming back. Going to Europe, coming back, going to your neighbor, coming back, going for a job, coming back, going to work, coming back, and seeing the miracles of God happen. We need to remember these two things. Is that Jesus said that I only do what I see the Father doing, and I only say what I hear the Father saying. In John 5:19, then Jesus replied, I assure you, the Son is not able to do anything on His own, but only what He sees the Father doing. Now, if Jesus said that, then I might assuredly also say that. If you tell me, hey, Retief, you look like you need a job, go for a jog and make sure somebody gets saved before you come home. I might not come home at all. Because this son, not the son of man, but this son can't do anything save for with the father. I assure you, the son is not able to do anything on his own, but only what he sees his father doing. And how does he see it? He recognizes it. He knows his father. He's intimate with his father. For whatever the father does, the son also does these things in the same way. Then about speaking just quickly, John 8:28. So Jesus said, "When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing on my own, but speak just what the Father has taught me." John 12:49. "For I did not speak on my own, but the Father who sent me commanded me to say all that I have spoken." Jesus wants us to yoke with him. He wants to do it with and through us. The word says that the harvest is plenty, but the workers are few. And I believe this is a time such as that. And the thing is, I can't tell you what it is. I cannot tell you what it is for you. You need to hear from God. What is it for me, Lord? Where is it for me? Some of it is big and it's huge and it's one big goal and movement and you might probably have to move. Another might just be around the corner. Another might actually be in your own home. But he wants to do this stuff with us. That's the spiritual side. But just then, also spiritual, but just about you personally. This is the pastoral side coming out. What is the burdens that is in your life? What is the stuff that is really wearing you down and burdening you in this season? Petri, would you mind just tockling a bit on your guitar? And I just believe God wants to expose some false yokes and bring us to a place where we can again yoke with him in all aspects of our lives. Won't you mind to stand with me, please? By the way, if you feel like sitting, please do sit. We don't want any false yokes or burdens here. Lord, we thank you. No man decided this, but you decided over our church, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit. And I believe that's a yoke that we can carry. That's a burden that we say yes to, Lord. Shofar Table View says yes to the Word of God, the revealed truth of Christ. And for us as a church, we just say yes to that scripture. Not by might, nor by power, but by God's Spirit, Lord. Lord, we want to see the guys in the street come to you, Lord. We want to see this school turned around. Lord, we want to see broken relationships restored, Lord. And we want to yoke with you, Father God. We want to yoke with you, Jesus Christ. But even as we go out to do that, Lord, on a personal note for everybody here, Lord, we just thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are the Spirit that lead us into all of the truth. And Lord, I know in my life there's burdens that I do carry now and again that is not of you, Lord. I just ask in this moment, Holy Spirit, that you will just come and convict us. Come and help us. Lord, you only want to take these things away that you've never asked us to carry in the first place. Lord, if there's a false burden of mammon, if mammon has placed a false burden on anybody, a false yoke of mammon, of worshipping or bowing our knee to mammon, Lord, we just come and repent.